How's it going, everybody? We are back at another Tuesday night Fresh Takes podcast with Russo and Felice. I, of course, am Paul Russo. Across from me, as always, looking fresher today than he has in the past couple weeks, admittedly, but that's because he's got a fresh cut. Man, myth, legend himself, Nick Felice. Nick, how you doing today?
I do have a fresh cut. New look, new year, Paul.
Not quite, but okay.
8 days till Christmas. Have you started your Christmas shopping?
Yeah, I only need to get a couple more things. Couple more things for my mom.
I haven't started. I told you last week I'm a December 24th shopper. Yeah. And I'm going to keep it that way.
Shame on you.
And
shame on you.
Paul, this is the last show of 2019.
Yeah, last show of 2019. But we do have some big news to give you guys. But
MLB breaking news.
It will be semi-breaking. We'll call it semi-breaking news, but it's what we call in the business as a teaser. We're not doing it just yet. We'll get through the first couple segments and then break it to you.
Okay.
As we always have been doing, drop a subtle hint. It's what we've been doing the past few shows. So that's a subtle radio tease, and this is what we call a seamless transition.
We have never been good with the transitions.
No. No, we have not.
There was a couple episodes we were pretty killer.
Right? Yeah, yeah. But it's not to say it's a lighter pod, but
it's a lighter pod.
It is a lighter pod. But we got the NFL to still discuss. Maybe not quite the really big newsworthy week, but certainly some headlines from the Shield this weekend to discuss. We'll go over some bowl games, preview them, and discuss a few. Despite what some people in this room may think, there's a couple important ones. So,
don't worry, I don't have your brother on this year. We are going to keep your bowl games. He's a big fan of the bowl games.
Yep.
We're going to keep them subtle. They're good games.
I just had a really bad itch on my neck that I shrugged very aggressively.
Did you get it?
No, not quite.
Will he get it by the end of the show? Right in.
Too late.
Live viewers.
Too late. I already did.
Okay.
We'll discuss the winter meetings, everything before, during, and after what's happened with the MLB and baseball. Big news there. And then we'll get to the really fun part of the show, the part I'm looking forward to today, because we had some fun with the Thanksgiving version of it, so we're bringing it back. The Christmas Power Rankings.
We need to make up for that final first take I had last week that was terrible.
Yeah, you do. You do. Not me, you.
Me.
I'll put you out on the island on that one.
Lone wolf, as we would say.
I assume we got multiple people in the studio.
But Paul.
Yes.
Something happened for the first time since 2007. On Sunday night, the central New York was going nuts. The Bills are going to the playoffs.
That's true.
They played their first Sunday night football
game. Stole the main thing that I put up even on the thing.
Yep.
But, the Bills have clinched their
first Sunday night game since 2007.
And first Sunday night win for the Bills.
Did you know the Cowboys have played 47 Sunday night football games? Sunday night football has been around since 2006. Cowboys have played the most 47 times. The Bills have played twice.
Lame.
Hey, you know, that's just terrible. It's terrible. Well, the Cowboys are only one game over 500.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But back to you, Paul.
You all know what? No, I want to keep it on you. We'll go back to the Bills because we'll stick with another localized team. The Giants picked up a big win for sentimental sake. What is presumed to be Eli's final home game in Giants uniform.
It was good. It was good for Eli. I would like that would be the way
he'd go out. Back to 500.
Yes. I would like that would be the way he'd go out, but we'll see if Daniel plays. But Paul.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a Giants fan as well, and he mentioned this. Has this ever happened? I think the two biggest games this weekend is the Giants versus the Redskins.
Okay.
And then the Dolphins play the Bengals. Those are the four worst teams in the NFL fighting it out for some of the top picks.
That is the perennial tank bowls.
Some people are saying they should move those to the Sunday night, Monday night football games.
They should be. They should be played at the same time for tank purposes.
Yes.
Can't let any sabotage happen. Can't have it.
It should be good. Lot on the line. You're a Redskins guy. I'm a Giants guy. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But good for Eli. Bills, though. Boy, was that. I have not been a Bills believer all season long. I'm a Bills believer. That they will go to.
You almost could say that you're a believer.
No, shut up. No. I think they got enough to beat the Texans in the first round. But after that, I don't know. Because they're not going to win the division. They need the Patriots to lose out.
I guess you could say they herded the Texans.
Oh. This guy. Funny. Funny. We're going to 2020 and you're stopping that. So, Bills. What do they got to do? They got to win out. They play the Patriots this weekend. Saturday. Big game. I think that could happen. They could beat the Patriots, but the Patriots are not going to lose to the Dolphins in Week 17. Patriots are going to win this division. Bills are going to the playoffs, most likely the 5 seed. I think that's clinched. That's clinched. I'm almost certain they have the 5 seed, unless the Titans can catch them somehow. But I don't know. I don't know, Paul. What do you think? You a believer?
I've been a believer since like week 3 or 4 when I realized that defense is for sure for real. And Josh Allen, top 10 fantasy quarterback this year. A guy that I told you at the beginning of the year was a dark horse fantasy quarterback.
Better than Dak?
Contender. Better than Dak. He's one of my 15 quarterbacks better than Dak. But yeah, I mean, that team is... I mean, obviously it helps that they're clinched now and they'll be... At the very least, in the playoffs, despite them only being technically a game back, I think it's a long shot to get to the Patriots. They meet this week.
It's a statement game,
but
still.
But we'll get into that, obviously, in the prediction portion of our NFL segment that we do every week. But, yeah, like I said, I don't think they'll get to the Patriots. I can't imagine that they really do. That being said, I think they effectively locked themselves in, like you said. I think they're effectively the 5 seed.
I think so.
Talk about the AFC after that. Bad. at least record-wise, really, to be fair.
They're going to let a mediocre team in the playoffs with that 6 seed.
I mean, we can't really say anything too much because of our division floundering the NFC, but...
No. Even though I think the Titans could be a good team.
Are they for real? I feel like the Titans are always that perennial 8-8 team that we just aren't sure what they are. I mean, I don't get it. Like, Tannehill's got to come back down to earth at some point, right?
I mean...
Like, right?
I know, but we are not high in the Steelers, are we?
No.
No. Not with that quarterback.
Absolutely not.
No, I think Mike Tomlin's done a great job this year.
Well, it's not so much on that, but like, yeah, I mean, overall, yeah.
But I'm not high on the Steelers. I think they could still get in because the AFC's that bad. Because the Titans got to play the Texans Week 17 again.
Yeah.
Titans can still win the division. They need the Texans to lose this week, and they need to win, and they need to beat the Texans Week 17.
Yeah.
But I know you don't have it up there. Your Browns are gone.
Yeah, my bandwagon team that will hop on this year.
they got eliminated. I think Raiders are gone. The Colts are gone.
Yeah.
Is it just the Titans?
Well, I think the Colts technically are still in it because of that reason. But, yeah, I mean, looking at it, at least AFC-wise.
But it's really just the Titans and Steelers.
Yeah, I mean... We got two. Let's see. There we go. I mean, yeah, because there's still 2 weeks left of games to be played, the Colts are still in it. And technically the Raiders, too. The Raiders can get in through the through a wild card slot, potentially. So... Oh, no, actually, no, the Raiders can't. So, yeah, I mean, pretty much just Colts and Titans on that front. So, yeah.
We will see. I think the AFC. I mean, when you look at the AFC, it's the Ravens to lose.
True.
The Patriots have not been playing well. Texans have played inconsistent.
True.
The Bills are not are a team you don't really want to believe in. And the Chiefs are that team, Paul. Are we believing in the Chiefs? I know their defense ain't the greatest.
I don't know, they just brought in Terrell Suggs.
That's something.
Yeah. I it's hard not to say that you don't believe in them because of the fact that that offense can still explode. And mind you, yeah, I understand about the defense, but the defense can still get the job done. They've proved that a few different times this year that, you know, they can step up when needed. So I think you still gotta consider them a perennial contender to some degree. Staying with AFC in a way, in last night's game, Drew Brees made history. Excuse me, passing Peyton Manning on the all-time touchdowns list with 540.
Pretty impressive.
I think he got to technically what 541 yesterday. Either way, broke the record. Really cool to see a guy that San Diego pretty much dumped because they thought Philip Rivers was the answer. A guy that pretty much cost us in a way. Now you need to follow my lead here, people. If you don't know this story, Nick Saban, as you know, was a one-time Miami Dolphin head coach, and the reason, part of the reason why he left Miami was because the Dolphins refused to sign Drew Brees. So pretty much the Dolphins are the reason why we have Nick Saban at Alabama, or well, the reason why we have this Alabama dynasty that we've had, and now we have Drew Brees pretty much being the record-breaking quarterback and, dare I say, top five quarterback of all time that he is.
And we have the
So
Dolphins, one of the worst teams in football.
pretty much, yeah. But were you watching any last night? I was watching when he broke the record, at least. I was, and then after that, I
I
turned it
did
off.
miss the record
I turned it off
touchdown, but
because that game was bad
yeah, it was
from
terrible.
a one side spurt perspective. So once the record got broken, I ended up going and doing other things. So you kind of already said it, but
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
yeah.
My teams are not very good. My fantasy team is over, so I've lost a little interest in football.
Same. Well, my, it doesn't help that our teams, at least pro-wise, are just terrible.
I mean, I'm watching football. It's not like I'm not watching on
Yeah.
Sunday. I just waiting for the playoffs. I'm
Yeah.
ready for the playoffs. Bet on those games.
I'm about to say, I'm pretty much only watching football now, I feel like, for gambling purposes only.
Yep, that's exactly right. And we'll see. I think Saturday's games are cool. You're not a big fan of the Saturday game, Paul. I don't know why.
Well, this time of year I like them because there's no college really going on. I didn't like it when they always had the couple while it was still college season.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. NFC though, Paul, we need to talk about it. Who is the best team in the NFC? And before you answer that, can we just put in our mind that the Green Bay Packers might have a shot at the number one seed?
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's
Yeah.
Saints, Niners, Seahawks, Packers. What about A-Rod? Aaron Rodgers,
Kirk
Paul.
Cousins, you're our only hope.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins can still win the division.
But yeah, I mean, always tough. It's always tough in this realm. I don't think this is gonna sound really bad. But the Packers are about as bad as an 11-3 team you could get because that defense has come down to earth a little bit. I think you're starting to see a rookie head coach doing some rookie head coach things. Like, why did they sit on the ball that whole second half against the Bears? I don't know. And they still don't have a number one. They don't. That wide receiving core is very. From a fantasy perspective, people can understand this. That fantasy core that he's got is very inconsistent in terms of production. You got, again, the Packers are kind of one of those teams where like they bust out a couple wide receivers never heard of, like this Lazard guy. I don't know who the hell is he? So,
I think he's a young guy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think the NFC, for the most part, still is probably going to run through New Orleans or Seattle, San Francisco.
I think with the NFC,
I think those are the big three for sure.
I think with the NFC, there's six playoff teams, and they're basically set. The Rams are the only team with an outside chance. Oh, the Eagles, too.
Vikings are there.
Well, the Vikings are in.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the Vikings haven't technically clinched yet.
Yeah, I know, because the Rams can still technically catch them. But it really, this week, this game of Cowboys versus Eagles is going to decide the sixth and final playoff team. I love to see it be the Eagles, but I think the Cowboys are going to save my decision later in the show.
Yes, you better save your decision for later in the show. But speaking of later in the show, continue.
I'm just saying that's a big game. They'll probably make a game of the week. But NFC's close. This is exciting. This is week 16. Lots going to change this week. We'll see what's going to be. I know this is our final time talking football, regular season football. The next time we see you, playoffs will be going. Enjoy the run of the regular season. It'll be a good time. Hopefully your team gets in it. Hopefully your team gets the pick you want. We'll see.
So let's move on then to the predicting round.
Are we doing week 17 picks too?
No. It'd be week... yeah, no.
So this is it.
This is going to be it for us, yeah.
That's right. So I did do the picks.
Go ahead.
I did do the picks. Week 14, you were right. It was a bad week. You went 7-9, went 6-10. Last week, you went 11-5. I went 8-8. That, Paul, puts you 17 games up. And for this, 16 games, I am 16 games back with 1 week to go. Because this is it.
Yep.
Paul, but I'm 17 back. I will pick the opposite of you this week. But for me to have a chance at winning, if you agree to this, make the Giants-Redskins game 3 points.
All right. Deal.
Here we go. You start it.
All right. Saturday night this week, since there's no Thursday night football this week. Saturday is our first game. Texans at the Buccaneers. I'll go Texans.
Why?
What do you mean,
Buccaneers?
Why? Jameis Winston, I swear. Okay. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Jameis Winston's the most absurd fantasy quarterback right now. He also, for the third straight week in a row, threw an opening drive interception.
He had 200 yards in the first quarter.
Like, this is absurd. But I think the Texans kind of prevail overall in that game.
Going Buccaneers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Saturday at 4:30, Bills at Patriots. Am I going first the whole time since you're going opposite? Yeah. I'll take the Patriots.
Why? I'm going Bills.
Saturday night, the 8:15 game, Rams at 49ers. Give me the 49ers.
Why, Paul?
Because you're giving me the option of going first.
I'm going Rams.
Steelers at the Jets, the first of the Sunday games, 1 o'clock. Give me the Steelers.
Why?
Can you stop with that? Please.
Jets.
Panthers at Colts. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Going Panthers.
Well, yeah.
I'm feeling it.
Saints at Titans. Give me the Saints.
I'm going Titans. Just enjoy
it. Bengals at Miami.
Ooh, who's he?
Tank Bowl number one on the day.
Tank Bowl number one.
I'm going to go with Miami.
Going Bengals.
The Ravens at the Browns. Give me the Ravens.
Oh, you're giving me the Browns. I'm taking the Browns.
Tank Bowl 2.
This is worth 3 points.
Giants at Redskins.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with the Giants.
Going Redskins. You haven't picked Redskins once this year.
Duh. Jaguars at the Falcons. I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Ah, Jags.
First of the 4 o'clock games, 4:05. Lions at Broncos. I'm going to go with Denver.
Going Lions. You give me my Lions.
Raiders on the road against the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Going Chargers. Mike Williams, first touchdown season last night. Week.
Here we go. A little too late. The alleged game of the week, potentially. Cowboys at Eagles.
Who am I getting?
You're getting the Cowboys because I'm taking Philly.
I'm taking the Dallas.
Cardinals at the Seahawks. I'm taking the Seahawks.
Kyler Murray, baby.
Our Sunday night game, Chiefs at the Bears. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I'm going Bears.
Of course.
Da Bears.
Monday night football, the final Monday night game of the year, Packers at the Vikings. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Going Packers. That would be something if I got to that game to beat you.
All I need to do is win five games and I clinch. So
you win one.
Well, no, with the three-point swing.
Oh, that's true.
So
that's true. That's right. But if you lost the Packers, that would be a crushing way to end your season. But, you know, if your team's in the hunt, if you're a Rams fan, if you're a Titans fan, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
Eagles fan, Cowboys fan, have fun.
Yeah. Speaking of having fun, it's bowl season. Why don't we go bowling, Nick?
We should go bowling. That's a good topic.
We do. I want to go bowling for a while.
I was talking to my dad. This was like, we need to get into a there Monday night bowling leagues.
Well, I get out of work at 9 most Fridays out or most Mondays.
Isn't that when bowling starts?
I mean, a lot of bowling leagues start before that.
I want to get in a bowling.
But we need to go like cosmic bowling or something.
The one
like
in
that,
Syracuse, the mall.
Well, yeah, but I don't feel like just driving to Syracuse for We could go to Sunset and still go. So
Sunset. I haven't been to Sunset since my 6th grade birthday party.
I can't remember the last time I've been to Sunset. Actually, it had to... When was it? It's been about... No, no, no. Were you with us when we went like 3 or 4 years ago?
Probably not. I haven't been to Sunset.
That was a weird night. We somehow ended up at like Geneva Parker's for about an hour.
What's the best you ever bowled?
So, well... With or without bumpers?
Without.
Okay. Probably somewhere in like... I've probably rolled a 200 game without bumpers back when... Now, this is... We need to preface this. When Fairleigh's Bowl was a thing and I was in like the junior bowling league there, I was rolling a solid 200 game, I remember, back then. Obviously not average, but... Yeah. But when you were bowling on like a regular basis, like it's not the most absurd thing in the world. But then it burned down, and now I'm lucky if I roll like 100.
I had 108 when I was a kid. That was my record for years.
So the reason why I asked about the bumper thing is because in the junior league that they had at Fairleigh's Bowl, they had bumpers for the junior league, and I rolled a 300 in the junior league one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Congrats.
With bumpers, though, so obviously.
If I had the bumpers, I'd go.
Yeah. We couldn't with those. I remember the ones at Finger Lakes were these, like, inflatable bumpers. So, like, there was, like, if you were to do that, there was a chance that, like, the ball could, like, just fling itself over into another lane if there was enough power on.
I did bowl 108 one time.
Nice.
And then I went years without bowling. Mm-hmm. And when we brought it back a couple years ago, I think I bowled 150 one time.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Now, have you ever crossed the line? Because the rumor is...
I'm sure I have.
They say the bowling alley is like marbles.
Like marbles.
Like walking on marbles. Always wanted... I don't know about that. They say it's so slippery, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, the lane.
Like if you ever stepped on
it. Yeah, I mean, I've stepped on it, but I've never like slid, like fallen because of it. Because typically... I mean, it's weird. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I have, but...
I am not.
I think it's a bit of an overrated. Now, mind you, the further down the lane you go, I think it's true. But, like, I don't think they're really putting a ton of oil up
top. And if you ever go bowling, you need to go more than once. Yeah. I mean, like, don't go for just one game. Always get, like, two or three games.
Yeah, but it's probably been, I'd say, like, a year and a half since I bowled last.
Really? I feel like we just did it. It probably was a year and a half ago.
Well, no, see, well, like, we would bowl, like, baseball team-wise, a couple of the summer teams I've been on. One, we did it pretty regularly, but the Lakers, where I'm at now, we did it. Actually, you want to probably just about a year ago we did it, give or take.
Now, if you're
I always forget about this because of the way it is. I bowled in the summer, this past year up in Rochester. We're getting really off topic, but whatever. Up in Rochester, there's a really great place that we should probably go to, even though it's really packed, called Radio Social. And I love it. It's fantastic up there. It's really fun. Yeah, we bowled up there over the summer, early summer. It was probably like May or so when we did it, but yeah.
This year?
Yeah, it's probably been about 5 or so months, give or take, I'd bet, since I've last bowled 5-6 months. So. Nice.
Now, if you're just joining the program, we're talking about college football here.
College bowl, yeah, yeah. And the first bowl that we're going to talk about is the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. Now, you may be wondering why the hell we're discussing that bowl. Nick seems to have an idea, though, of why.
No, I don't. Oh, okay. I'm keeping my mouth shut. Ball.
That bowl kicks off Friday at 2 p.m. The reason why we're discussing it is because there is a local flair to the game. The Buffalo Bulls, they're in the game playing Charlotte, the 49ers. The 49ers in their first ever bowl game. Battle of the MAC versus CUSA.
And now this starts this Friday.
Yep, Friday at 2 o'clock, your first bowl game. As much as I want to see Buffalo win, I just don't think it's going to happen. This Charlotte team is pretty good offensively.
Now, is this Charlotte's best season?
This has been Charlotte's best season since they've been FBS. First bowl for them. Buffalo is actually pretty much a touchdown favorite at 6.5, but I think Charlotte has been rolling really good lately. They have an effective club dub whenever they win in the locker room, which is pretty fun to watch on social media. I'm going to go 49ers on this one. I know you're a big CUSA fan, Nick, but any thoughts on this game at all?
I remember when we talked about Buffalo on the college football preview.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buffalo wins this game.
All right.
It's a big year for Buffalo football.
All right, a game that I want to talk about only because of the kind of maybe not history in the sense that it's going to go down in the books, but Boise State is going up against Washington in the Mishibides Motors Las Vegas Bowl. Now you may be wondering why I'm talking about it. It's this Saturday, it kicks off.
Because it's Las Vegas.
Kicks off at 7:30. Not quite. It's Boise State against Washington. Chris Peterson's final game as a head coach. Obviously brought the Boise State program along to the point where it became a national name and kind of resurrected that Washington program to the point that they made the playoffs. Yeah, to the point that they made the playoffs 2 years in a row the past couple of years. Really, to be fair, one offense is definitely better than the other, but two really good offenses. They have the over-under, I think, kind of low. Washington's favored by 3.5. I'm still going to take Boise, I think, in this game. Chris Peterson, though, really great coach, really great guy. Stepping away to take kind of an advisor role at Washington in the athletic department. Can't really blame him. He's done a lot for the new era of college football. Overall,
sucks to see him go.
Yeah, but yeah. I'll put it this way: I like Boise State with the points, and I like that game over 49.5.
It sucks to see him go. Him and TCU never got their chance at shot at the championship.
True,
it's like UCF. I'd like to see him go out with a win. He did a lot for both those programs. He got Washington to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Win the Rose Bowl.
Yep. Did they win? I don't know. I can't remember.
But he's done a lot for those two programs. Hell of a coach. Sad to see him go. Someday, Boise State will get their wish.
Yeah, it's revenge. Again, another game where you might be wondering why I'm even discussing it, but it's a game that I always look forward to because whenever I get home from our Christmas Eve festivities with the family, it's always on. Exactly. The SoFi Hawaii Bowl. Hawaii, who technically their stadium's hosting it, but Hawaii is the away team against BYU. Two teams that, in a way, kind of surprised everybody this year. This Hawaii team played an extra game. Fun fact, they've played two extra games than most other teams usually do. But that being said, I'm gonna take Hawaii. Hawaii's technically the underdog, getting a point and a half. But they're a little bit of a team of destiny right now. They really are, so I'm gonna take Hawaii.
What conference does Hawaii play in?
They're in the Mountain West. Really? Same as Boise State.
BYU's not there?
BYU is independent now.
Really?
Yep.
I like Hawaii on Hawaii. At Hawaii on Christmas Eve. I think Notre Dame played in this game one year. That's how I know it. It was either Notre Dame or Syracuse. I can't remember. But I remember one we played in this game. Got Hawaii on Christmas Eve. Why not?
All right. And now we're going to get into the...
The Big Ten.
Bigger bowl games.
Before you get into the Big Ten, what does the FCS do for their playoffs?
That's an actual playoff.
16 teams.
16 teams, yep.
That's like D3 does,
too. Well, that's what D3 and D2 do, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what FCS
that's
does.
That's pretty cool. I don't get why. The Big Tens don't do it, but...
Nope. Too much money.
Would you be for?
I'm for sure, at least an eight team playoff at this point. 16 will probably do too much. Probably would need too much convincing and whatever.
Fair.
Eight team, though, you can still do, I think, under the current ball structure. So.
What are we talking about? The granddaddy of them all?
Close. not at first, but close. Cotton Bowl Classic this year, Memphis at Penn State. This Memphis team I've become a bit skeptical of over the past couple games that they played. Respect them that because they're good, but I think this Penn State team is going to really overwhelm them.
Did Memphis win the American?
They did. Because Cincinnati really messed up that final play. But I think Penn State by 6.5 is really generous, I think, or really, really low. I think they're going to probably win by double digits, but that's here or there. And that. I really like Memphis in that. I'm going to rattle them off quick, this next one, Nick, and then we'll get into the other two. Two of the final, probably three we'll talk about, or four rather, that we'll talk about. Your Notre Dame Fighting Irish taking on Iowa State in the Camping World Bowl.
Isn't that the bowl Syracuse played
yes,
last year?
I thought so. Notre Dame by 4, I think, is being really generous against an Iowa State team that was 7-5 on the year.
I don't know a lot about them.
Unfortunately, that Iowa State team gets thrown in there at that record because the Big 12 was a circle of obsessed by the end of the year. I think Notre Dame definitely by more than 4. I love Notre Dame in that matchup. So, kick it over to you, Nick.
It's just sports betting is tough with bowl games because you don't know who's going to play in these games lately.
Yeah,
which sucks for college football fans because they look forward to these bowls every year, and these guys that are the top picks don't ever play in them.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Notre Dame in this game. Obviously, I'm excited. I like the time slot of the game.
Noon.
It's the same day. It's the Final Four, too. It's like the appetizer. There is another game that's at noon that day, too.
Yeah, the Cotton Bowl.
The Cotton Bowl.
Yep, okay. Memphis, Penn State.
They're both at noon.
Yep.
They are the appetizer for the playoff. And before we get to the playoff, I loved it when it was on New Year's Eve. I just liked that. That was cool. New Year's Eve, you know, a little pregame, and they got the college football playoff on. That's cool, but that only comes around every few years when it lands on a Saturday. But, Notre Dame should win this game. Ian Book's going to throw 4 touchdowns.
Okay. Now, obviously, the college football playoff. In the Peach Bowl, you have Oklahoma and LSU. In the Fiesta Bowl, Clemson, Ohio State. LSU's giving 14. That's about the fringe number that I think it will be at, but I like LSU in that game.
You like them by 14?
Yeah. Give or take. It'll probably be closer to, I think, 10 probably overall, but that spread's been about the closest that's been so far, so of the games that we've previewed. That game is a massive over-under. It's 75.5. I think it's going to be a shootout, but that's still a lot of scoring that you need to get done to get to that number. Clemson, Ohio State. Clemson, 2-point favorite. Like that line. Clemson's the most balanced team in the country. So you'll see what happens there. Over under at 63. Probably will hover right around there would be my bet, but we'll see with that. So I got Clemson, LSU, and then we'll be back to preview the championship game, presumably. Actually.
Is it the Tuesday after?
I don't know. You talk about the games. I'll double check.
Oh, college football. Yeah, throw it to me. I think LSU, I don't disagree with Paul that LSU and Clemson should be the favorites, but don't sleep on Ohio State. Now, Ohio State's been good all year long. Well, that's going to be a hell of a game.
We will be back on there. It's January 13th.
Oh, that's the championship? So, yeah. Seems late this year.
Yeah.
But Ohio State-Clemson going to be a hell of a game. Paul, is the Oklahoma game first? LSU-Oklahoma?
Yep, 4 o'clock.
It's going to be a blowout. I actually agree with you. I think minus 14 is very nice pick to do with LSU. They're going to blow them out. But Clemson, Ohio State, I think it's going to be the granddaddy of them all. That's not the Rose Bowl, but it's going to be a hell of a game. I recommend to watch it. ESPN, right?
Yes.
Great game. I think Ohio State's going to win, but wouldn't be surprised if Clemson won. It's a big game for Clemson.
Yeah.
Huge, huge statement game.
And then the final two that we're going to briefly touch on, because obviously they're New Year's Six games, Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. The Rose Bowl is Oregon and Wisconsin. Wisconsin 3-point favorite, over under at 51.5.
The granddaddy of them all.
I'm going to take Wisconsin in this. I think this Oregon team, they're too inconsistent overall. And then for the Sugar Bowl, kind of the same deal. That Baylor team, you don't know what offense is going to show up. I'm going to take Georgia. I like that line at 7. And the over-under at 41.5, I take that over as well. So, at least on my end, that concludes the bowl preview. Nick, you got anything?
No. How can we not talk Michigan-Alabama?
Oh, God. Do we have to?
Yes, Paul. I've been waiting to talk about Jim Harbaugh.
They're in the Citrus Bowl. Just...
What is that? January 31st?
No, it's New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
It's, look, who cares? This should be Jim Harbaugh's last game.
Or it could be the contract extension game.
Whatever.
I think it's going to be a great game. I think Michigan has got a lot to prove. Alabama's down in the dumps. Wouldn't be surprised if Michigan pulls up the upset over a two-a-less Alabama team. Paul, tune in.
Absolutely. Speaking of tuning in, Nick, as we've been doing, we need to showcase the upcoming Finger Lakes 1 broadcast. And, folks, we have special news for you in that regard. FL1 Sports heads to Newark on Friday night. The Reds are hosting the Wayne Eagles. And myself and Nick are on the call for that game for Finger Lakes 1. It will be on Finger Lakes 1 Sports Radio. You can find that through the main page on FL1 on Friday night. We are very excited for this.
Very excited.
We are doing our homework. So tune in.
It is radio.
It is radio, so it will be audio only.
But it is live.
No video. But yeah, live. Wayne Eagles, Newark Reds from Newark. I believe that will be 7:30 on the coverage start. I always get kind of shaky with that because you never know what the JV games are going to do. But
what time are you picking me up, Paul?
Don't know yet. Depends. I'm almost guess probably 5:30-ish, give or take.
So this is our announcing debut.
This is our debut in terms of that.
Now, we have announcing experience. You used to be the voice of Minders Football.
Public address-wise, yeah.
And when I was in middle school, I used to be the voice of Minders Softball. Did you know that?
No.
7th, 8th grade, I used to announce the Minders Softball games up at Little League.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty bad at pronouncing names back then, but I was the voice. I announced. But that's really all the experience I have. Other than the show, should be a good time. Yeah. Tune in. How do we tune in? Fingerleaks1.com, Paul. Yeah.
Yep, and then we'll get you home from there.
Yeah.
Speaking of home, let's discuss some baseball winter meetings quickly.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, big news before, during, and after the winter meetings. Let's do the beforehand stuff first, or the during first, actually. I want to do during first. Nothing maybe in terms of gameplay-wise major. We got a small update regarding the Astros cheating scandal, sign-stealing. Seems though that investigation will be going on a little bit longer yet, but this is the most involved investigation that the MLB has ever been a part of. Does not look good for the Astros.
I'm sorry.
Continue.
I know you're doing something. You're doing your intro here. I know you've been doing this for a year and a half. But, Paul, when we left this show,
yeah,
one of the biggest news for your New York Yankees occurred after this show. And how are you not starting off the intro with that?
Because
they signed Garrett Cole.
Okay, Paul. Fine. We're jumping into it.
Paul, they signed Garrett Cole. I know the Astros are cheating. They're always cheating, just like the Patriots. We've seen the footage. But, Paul, your Yankees signed Garrett Cole, even though you're a little upset because they lost Didi. They lost Didi to the Phillies.
True.
And Joe.
True.
Girardi.
You've just awoken a demon inside of me. I don't like Joe Girardi.
That's right, you don't like him.
Well, okay, fine. Yeah, Garrett Cole, 9 years, $324 million. What a deal. Strasburg signed like 2 days before, and I pretty much said that that's going to screw up the Cole deal for everybody, which it did.
Rendon
signed.
That was a big deal.
Yep. Oh, wow, looking at this list, I didn't know Justin Bour signed in Japan for the year. Wow. Jose Abreu goes back to the White Sox.
That's not surprising.
Beforehand, Yasmani Grandal is going from the Brewers to the White Sox on a four-year. Where'd he go? There he is. 4 years, $73 million. Quite the deal, obviously. Cole Hamels, one-year deal with the Braves. That was during winter meetings. Among other things, let's see, bigger names. Mike Moustakas signed with the Reds. 4 years.
Wade Miley signed with the Reds.
People. That was today. No one cares.
Does anybody care?
I don't like Wade Miley. Adam Jones, man, this one hurts because I like Adam Jones. He signed in Japan. Oh, man.
So the Astros are in trouble, is what you were saying?
Well, yeah. Well, hold on here, because we got whatever else going here. Zach Wheeler with the Phillies, 4 5 years, $118 million. Interesting for a guy who's never played a full season. Then, obviously, some other interesting ones. You have, like, Michael Wacha signing a one-year deal with the Mets. Blake Treinen signed a one-year deal with the Dodgers.
Mookie Betts on the move?
Mookie Betts might be on the move. Obviously, trade-wise, Corey Kluber's going from the Indians to the Rangers. So, winter meetings was a busy time this year. Certainly, I agree with what everybody's saying, at least in terms of whatever here, in terms of this, baseball's back, at least in that realm. So that's pretty cool. I think the other major thing to come out of winter meetings was, two major things was obviously the draft being moved from New Jersey to Omaha, yes, which I think is really great for baseball overall because you have the draft now right on the eve of the College World Series. And you pretty much are at right where half the guys who get drafted are going to be at. So that's really cool. And then the MLB took a semi-progressive step in taking marijuana off the banned substance list. So, I'm calling it semi-progressive because this all comes on the heels of the stuff with, unfortunately, Tyler Skaggs and his overdose. So, but they're the first of the major big four leagues that have done this. So that's pretty neat all at the same time.
One thing I took out of this is the LA Angels suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suck. I know they just signed Rendon, but this is Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim's team that has not had an elite starting pitcher in since ever. Jared Weaver is really it. You need to get a hitter. Your brother Pat, I wish he was on the show, Paul. He's a big Mike Trout guy. And we've learned hitting, you need pitching to win in this league. They have the best player in baseball, in your brother's opinion. I think he's top three. But and Rendon's nice. It's definitely going to help the offense. But they're going to suck again because they don't have any starting pitching. Astros got a big loss. Losing Gerrit Cole because he's with the Yankees. I don't know how Gerrit Cole is going to work with the Yankees. It's a lot of money and a lot of risk. But if you're the Yankees, it's a smart move. I am not happy with the move as a former Pirates fan. Or a former Pirates fan. I should be a former Pirates fan. As a Pirates fan who was a former employee for them, used to be Gerrit Cole. So, sucks to hear. Glad he's doing all right. Doesn't have a World Series. Can't win the playoffs, I see, still. But good luck to him. The Astros, they're in trouble. Are they going to get suspended? What's going on with the Astros?
Well, obviously the team can't get suspended, but I've heard a rumor, and I'm going to not play it up. I don't think it's actually going to happen. But apparently the idea of suspending or not suspending, banning A.J. Hinch permanently is being kicked around to some degree. Like I said, I'm not going to put full weight into that. I don't think this is, even though it's egregious, I don't think it's that egregious of an act. I'd be surprised, in all honesty, if Hinch gets anything. A good point that I saw today via Foolish Baseball, which is a great account on Twitter and YouTube to follow. The two uniformed Astros player and coach that are at the center of this have not been named yet. So that's something to keep an eye on. Depending upon who the player is and who the coach is, they'll probably be suspended. And another rumor I saw was the coaching question is new Mets manager Carlos Beltran. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think that one's more believable, seeing those two be suspended in some regard. Again, I don't know, though. It will be interesting.
It was definitely one of the better winter meetings in a while.
Yeah, definitely. And
it's been a little slow.
Just a couple of big names still out on the, I saw on the market to get you to think about here a little bit. Dellin Betances. Nicholas Castellanos.
Zach Duke.
I think Zach Duke retired. Oh, no, he didn't. He's still playing.
I saw that list the other day. That's amazing. That guy's still playing.
Francisco Cervelli. Personally, for me, he's a big name. I like Francisco.
I'm a big Francisco guy, too. Back off.
Asdrubal Cabrera, who people don't realize this. He had 91 RBIs last year. So
for the Mets?
For the Rangers and Nationals.
Really?
Let's see.
Milkman, Melky Cabrera.
Yep. Ryan Healy. They don't have this update, but Ryan Healy signed a 1-year deal with the Brewers today. Pouring out Mariner fans everywhere. And I'd say that's probably a couple of the final bigger names.
Bumgarner.
Bumgarner signed. Stupid deal, in my opinion.
That's what you said.
But whatever. I'm not gonna tell you how to spend your money.
It's almost like when they signed Zach Greinke.
Yeah. Keuchel's still available.
Kimbrel?
Catcher-wise, this is going to be interesting. You got some catchers that are available in Jonathan Lucroy, Martin Maldonado, and Russell Martin. So that'll be interesting. I think Cameron Maben got himself a contract somewhere next year. Puig is still available.
What about Kimbrel?
Kimbrel is locked up with the Cubs.
Carlos Gonzalez.
Yeah, he is available.
I didn't even realize he was on the Cubs last
year. Jonathan Schoop is available. Didn't know that. How about that?
Well, but we will keep you updated.
Yeah.
Paul will tweet every time someone signs.
Pretty much. That's what I've been doing. So
follow Paul at PaulRusso32.
Yep.
On Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't follow me. I don't tweet.
NikkiFresh21.
I am on there, but I don't tweet.
Speaking of all the things, let's get into it. Our final topic of the day, Christmas power rankings.
How are we doing this?
We're going to do from an overall top five. What are your favorite things about Christmas? Mostly because we're also up against the clock a little bit, but what are your just favorite things about Christmas? Now, it could be anything from the big guy to maybe you just like cookies to maybe you just like your family. I don't know. It's up to you, though. What are your favorite five things?
You start off.
You want me to start? Okay. I'm going to need to do a quick list here, writing things down, doing very Stugazi and things of me. Okay. I got that. Okay. I think I know what I'm going with here. I think I know. Number five for me is the white elephant gift exchange that we do with our family. Mostly because obviously you don't know what you're getting. And it's unmarked. Could be anything. Like what five years ago when I was 20 years old, I end up walking away with a candy cane full of liquor bottles. And underage me was very happy about that to this day. So that was pretty great. Let's see, number four. Number four, I gotta go with our Christmas morning breakfast that we have at the Russo house. Now, it might not be, you know, a staple amongst everybody, but we have a nice breakfast. We obviously have the staples like eggs and bacon, but we do pancakes, we do the cinnamon rolls. It's fantastic. You wake up, you get your presents open, you know, got that. Number three is the Christmas night, and we haven't done this in a couple years, the Christmas night movie that we go to as friends. Because, you know, hey, you guys are family too.
But, that is a good time.
But, yeah, you know, that's a tradition I missed. I think we can bring that back this year. I don't know. But, got that. Number two for me. I mean, number two's got to be Santa. I'm going to go Santa at number two.
Santa.
I'm going to go Santa at number two. I mean, he's the big guy. And my number one favorite thing about Christmas, Die Hard, the movie. Die Hard is a Christmas movie, the best Christmas movie. Die Hard, number one, book it.
Die Hard, number one.
Yep.
I had my number five and I forgot it. It was, anyway, I'll just put it this. My number five is Christmas music. Not too often do I like Christmas music, but I do like it this time of year. That's my number five. I'm trying to think what my other number five was, but I'll put that as my number five. Number four is decorations, Paul. I used to have this, I do have this village that we set up in my house. And I haven't set it up. It takes so damn long to set it up. But it's this cool village. I used to get a piece every year. Usually I'm the guy that sets up the lights outside. I didn't do it this year. So I'm not really celebrating the decorations this year. But I used to really enjoy it. I love lights. I'm big fan of the decorations. Set up the tree, all that type of stuff. Number three, Paul. NBA basketball
Christmas Day. Oh, my God. For a guy who doesn't like LeBron, how is that in your top five?
No. Not that game. Not the LeBron game. I'm talking about, they're not on this year, but my New York Knicks typically are the noon game. Sad to say, they're not on this year, but if we get a good team building around a couple years, we'll be back at that noon game every year. It should be. The noon game should be at Madison Square Garden every year. Because I look forward to it. You know, we open presents in the morning, eat a little breakfast, and all of a sudden a couple more hours pass, and it's the Knicks on at noon before we go to my dad's side of the family for Christmas. And that leads into my number two. So we go to my dad's side of the family on Christmas, and we do my mom's side of the family some other specific day, and this happens to be this Saturday. I think just family Christmas parties in general, number two, is a great time. My family is very competitive. I'm very competitive, and we always seem to find a game. One of the years it was, we did this drinking game. You had to guess what we're drinking. Last year was a bocce tournament at my one cousin's house. That was pretty cool. We'll see what Saturday brings. Should be a good time. But number one, Paul, you stole it. It was your number three. Our Christmas night movie, going to the movie theaters. And Paul, there are rumors about what movie we're going to see. I don't know if we've done it last year, but bringing it back.
Star Wars.
Haven't seen the first eight. Paul, how do you feel about watching Richard Jewell?
Okay.
Christmas night.
Okay. Definitely a movie I want to see.
I think it could be recliners, too, at Geneva.
I'm surprised, Nick, that you want to go see Richard Jewell.
Why?
That's
an insult before the end of the show.
Well, you want to know what? It's the same thing, same logic. You know, I was surprised you liked Ford versus Ferrari. And
yes, now I'm coming around, Paul.
I'm surprised. I'm proud of you.
I'm disappointed.
You want to know what, Nick? I'm going to keep...
What was my number five?
I'm going to keep the mic. I'm going to keep the camera on you so we can wrap things up here. Who are you shouting out today?
Double shout out.
Whoa!
Two former guys have been on the show. I've probably shouted them out before. Shout out Jeremy Frederberg and Andrew Lucchesi. They are meeting our fantasy football finals. They have played once this last week. Andrew was up 40 points. Double two-week matchup in the finals for the playoffs. Andrew's up 40 points over Jeremy. Good luck to you two in the fantasy football finals. Paul, you and Matt as well. Good luck in third place game.
Thank you.
Another year of fantasy football. The ninth season of Jerry One Fantasy Football.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
That's it for me. Everyone have a good Merry Christmas. Yes. Happy Holidays. New Year. Show will probably be canceled. We might not be back in 2020, but, you know,
that's
a good
news
ride.
To me. Okay. Thanks, as always, guys, for tuning in.
We'll see. You'll hear me on Friday.
Like Nick said. Yeah, tune in Friday. Like Nick said, hope everybody has a safe and enjoyable holiday. We'll catch you in 2020. If you haven't already, like, share, subscribe, and remember, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I'm home alone.